From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Sitting in for Tony is today's host, Jody Heiss.
This was a game-changing debate in the sense that right now, as we speak, there is a deep, a wide, and a very aggressive panic in the Democratic Party. It started minutes into the debate, and it continues right now. It started minutes in. It started with the first couple of answers, and it has continued throughout the night from a, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, to what do we do about this? And it involves very senior people in the Democratic Party, including elected officials, saying we have a problem.
Wow, that was CNN national correspondent John King talking about last night's debate between President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump. And you are listening now to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Jody Heiss. As always on Friday, great to be with you, and thank you so much for joining us. We have tons to talk about. Obviously, top of the list is what you just saw. Talk of the town is all about last night's presidential debate, with attention especially being given on Biden, who, he struggled, to say the least.
And I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of this sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
Well, I will be joined a little bit later in the program with Congressman Ralph Norman to get his take on all of this. And I'll also be joined a little bit later in the program with Tony Perkins himself to give his analysis. And I can assure you he has quite some powerful thoughts about last night's debate and where we go from here. So you don't want to miss that. And earlier today, during a rally in North Carolina, a revved up, shall we say, President Biden, he tried to reassure his supporters by saying that, he's not a young man anymore. He can't walk very well anymore. He can't speak or debate like he used to. But somehow he's still the best choice.
I don't walk as easy as I used to. I don't speak as smoothly as I used to. I don't debate as well as I used to. But I know what I do know. I know how to tell the truth. I know right from wrong. But I know how to do this job. I know how to get things done.
Well, I think fact finders would question even some of those comments. But listen, many people are arguing today about how well has he really done his job. And there's so many places to look to give an assessment. The economy, the southern border, wars breaking out, crime, where do you begin and where do you end? But the contrast between the two presidential candidates goes even further. And I'll be joined by David Clawson, director of FRC's Center for Biblical Worldview, for discussion on that a little bit later. But there's also more news going on than just the debate. The Supreme Court has issued some rulings, and you probably are not going to hear about them with all the discussion about the debate last night. And Dr. Chris Gasek, Senior Fellow for Regulatory Affairs at FRC, will give us a report on that here in just a little bit. And then there's some other news, another news item that's not been getting much attention. It has to do with how the Biden administration has colluded with the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. That organization, by the way, is an activist organization. But the Biden administration has colluded with this organization to transgender kids. Well, FRC's Meg Kilgannon will join me to talk about that. Again, another one of those issues that largely is going under the radar. So we've got a lot to bring your way on the program today. You don't want to miss any of it. If by any chance you do miss a portion of the program, you can catch it at our website, tonyperkins.com. And please don't forget, there are tons of resources there for you. And just by way of reminder, let me also say, as is on absolute full display these days, biblical truth is under attack in our culture. I know that I don't have to tell you about that. You see it. Well, we here at FRC are committed to defending the faith. And right now you can help us. You can take advantage of FRC's $2.5 million challenge match. This gives you the ability to double your impact when you give and support FRC. Now, that only lasts a couple more days. It's all over on June 30th. So we encourage you to join us in defending the faith. You can do so by texting the word DEFEND to 67742. All right, let's jump into our first story for today. And we're not going to begin right off with the debate last night. I want to first give you some highlights that the U.S. Supreme Court, they're in their home stretch of releasing some opinions this term, and they still have a couple of blockbuster opinions, I will say that, that are still hanging out there. But today, the Supreme Court released a majority opinion shrinking the power of the administrative state. Well, what does all that mean? Real quickly, for a few moments, joining me is FRC's Senior Fellow for Regulatory Affairs, Dr. Chris Gasek. He is also an attorney. And Chris, welcome to the program. Thanks for coming on to give us an update on Supreme Court news today.
It's good to see you, Jody, and we'll hit it fast.
All right, yeah, let's hit it fast. There were three decisions that were announced by the Supreme Court today. Give us a brief overview of them.
So just real quickly, this case called basically overturning the Chevron doctrine. Chevron was the name of a case from 1984, and it essentially laid out this principle that if there was some disputed or unclear language in a statute, courts would defer to the expert opinions of administrative agencies. Back then, they thought it would be an easier way to handle these problems. It turned out to be a total nightmare, and the court today said that not only is it—they didn't really go into the fact that it's a total nightmare, but they said that it's inconsistent with the statute that enables you to sue the government to get a correction of the law, which basically says that the courts have to apply the law, not administrative agencies. So they, in a sense, did a statutory interpretation to say that it had always been interpreted the wrong way. It's kind of a stunning doctrine, but the bottom line of it is courts are not just going to allow these agencies to have self-serving interpretations of statutes that increase their power and are contrary to the meaning of the statutes as the courts see it. So that era is over.
So this is a powerful move, really, and I do think this is one of those things that would be swept under the rug. Most people would not know what's going on. But real quickly, in less than a minute, the Chevron doctrine, hit on that.
It's basically what I was just saying, that if you have an unclear statute, there's sort of a kind of a methodology for how you determine what that means, and essentially what it said was, courts should allow or defer to, this is where you get Chevron deference, to the interpretation of this statute when there's ambiguity as to the meaning, that the court should defer to the agency. And that's what ended today.
So that's putting it in the hands of the courts.
Exactly. In essence, the courts had a long period of just saying, you're interpreting things the wrong way, but because of our precedent, we can't correct it.
Wow. Chris Gasek, thank you so much. Appreciate you giving us that info, and we'll look forward to having you on to go into further detail on some of the SCOTUS decisions. I now want to turn over to last night's presidential debate, which by many accounts, even those on the left, are calling it an absolute disaster for President Biden. Well, joining me now to discuss this is Congressman Ralph Norman. He serves on three House committees, including the Powerful Rules Committee and the Budget Committee. He comes from South Carolina, the 5th Congressional District there. Congressman Norman, joining us by phone. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, great to be with you, Jody. Thank you.
Well, listen, first of all, I want to get into the debate last night and your reaction, but I want to say publicly congratulations to you on being recognized just yesterday at FRC Action's annual award for members of Congress who scored a perfect 100% on votes that we scored here at FRC Action. Congratulations to you. Well done. We're proud of you.
Well, my honor to do it, and we're going to do more of it in the coming 2 years.
I know you will. All right, we've just got a few minutes left. Give me your takeaways on last night's presidential debate.
Well, you know, Jody, we have seen this. America's had a front row seat to this for the last really 18 months, where you had a president who didn't know, couldn't find his way off a stage. He couldn't read a teleprompter. He couldn't ride a bicycle. And, you know, it was sad in a way, but scary for all of our rogue nations, the axis of evil, China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran, to see how weak this man is. And we're in danger of serious attacks. You know, the fact that Joe Biden, this didn't just happen. And the press, I think, we're being played in a way because they want to now try to pick somebody else. And look at the timing of this. The press is all on board that he's incompetent and he's mentally has dementia and probably other things. But it was sad, scary at the same time. And this is where we are in America. That's why prayer is needed now more than ever.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more on that, Congressman. You know, and you're right. I mean, liberal Democrats all across, even the networks who have been protecting Joe Biden for so long, they themselves are now calling for a replacement for Joe Biden as a candidate to be president. You know, are they more concerned about the election? We have the 25th Amendment. We have our country at stake. And it seems as though still the mantra coming is we need a different presidential candidate so that we can win and continue pushing their agenda. I hope that's not the case, but I kind of feel that way. Your take on it?
I think it's time for, I mean, look at the timing of it. Again, they didn't just find this out. The Democrats want to keep power. They figured the only way they can do that is get another candidate in. But quite frankly, you know, Joe Biden is going to get beat, and if he's the candidate, and it's really a cheap shot for them to even. I mean, the 25th Amendment has always been there, and you know,
that's
they
right.
may not can get the 2/3 vote in both houses. But I want to vote against. I want to run against Joe Biden. We only got 4 more months of this insanity, and beat him, and then maybe we can get this country back on track.
Well, and if we go down the path of the 25th Amendment, I mean, well, we've got Kamala Harris next in line. And so, you know, that's frankly problematic for the Democrats as well. But all that said, I don't know if you saw President Biden today was speaking in North Carolina, and he said he has no intention of dropping out. Your thoughts on that? Are we headed to a big conflict with the Democratic Party?
I hope he doesn't drop out. I mean, that's who they put up for this long. They now are in panic mode, I assume. They will find a way, though, Jody, to somehow get him in there. But the problem they've got, timing. Look at the timing now. November 5th will be here in, what, 4 months? And even if you go down the road of impeaching him and under the 25th, it's going to take time. And let's let it play out like it is, and let's let Joe Biden leave office as he should. Kamala Harris is probably worse than he is. She can't make a sane decision herself. So I want to see it play out like it is. Let Biden run.
Congressman Ralph Norman, South Carolina, thank you so much for joining us on Washington Watch. Really appreciate your input on the debate last
night. My honor.
And congratulations again. All right, friends, after the break, we're going to discuss yet another item that's not been getting much attention in the news, certainly not as much as it should be getting. The collusion between the Biden administration and an activist organization on transgendering your children. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at washingtonstand.com. That's washingtonstand.com.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone, too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, SageCon, to learn more. That's SageCon, SageCon, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your Friday host, Jody Heiss, and we welcome you aboard. All right, we've got much more to cover about the debates last night. In fact, at the bottom of the hour, Tony will be joining me by phone to give some of his input, so you certainly don't want to miss that. But I have another piece of information that has recently surfaced that's largely not being detected. The Biden administration has colluded with the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. That WPATH is what it's also known as. But this is an activist organization. And the whole intent behind this cooperation is to remove age restrictions on gender mutilation surgeries. It's really disturbing stuff. And, y'all, this is your tax dollars at work. I mean, you need to understand that as well. So what was exposed to the public? Where is all of this headed? Joining me now to discuss this is FRC's Senior Fellow for Education Studies, Meg Kilgannon. Meg, welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining us.
It's great to be here, Jody. Thanks for having me.
All right, this is a big deal, and yet another one of those things that, you know, it always seems like we have this big news item and everybody's focused on it. And while that's happening, there are things happening behind the scenes that if you're not keeping a good pulse on it, it can just go underneath the radar. But this is one of those things that we cannot allow to go under the radar. So let's start. Can you remind us about this activist organization, WPATH? Tell us who they are and what the Biden administration is pushing for.
WPATH is just as you described it, Jody. It's an activist organization of healthcare professionals, psychologists, psychiatrists, endocrinologists, plastic surgeons, all kinds of people who are interested not in transgender health, but in transgender bodily achievement, basically. They're interested in perfecting medical science in a way that makes it possible for a man to completely change into a woman or woman to completely change into a man, which of course is impossible. And the additional layer of horror over the situation is that they want to do this to children too. I mean, this isn't appropriate healthcare at all. This isn't healthcare. But you could maybe go along with some level of freedom for an adult who chose to do this. I don't agree with that, but some might argue that way. But I think we could all agree that children should not be experimented on in this way. And these documents that are revealed show that the Biden administration secretary of not secretary of Health and Human Services, but she is and he is an official in the Department of Health and Human Services, Rachel Levine, a man who presents himself as a woman, was advocating to the world profession to WPATH that they should eliminate the mention of age as regards children, because other activist organizations like the ACLU were saying that this would be a that age mentioning ages at all is a problem for them when they are litigating these acts in the states that are attempting to ban the procedures that we're talking about, these medical experiments on children.
Wow. So let's make sure that the dots are well connected. So we have Rachel Levine, within the administration. How involved was the administration in directing the traffic, so to speak, so that this collusion with WPATH takes place and that the Biden administration is cooperating?
They were advising, they were offering this advice and agreeing with it. Maybe one way to solve this problem, so to speak, of people pushing back on the idea that children should have access to these kind of, they call them treatments, I call them experiments, that if we just eliminated age from this opportunity, then everything would be better. And it would be easier for everybody. He was very much involved in this process. And this is just, it's not an appropriate role for government, obviously, to be engaging with activist organizations this way. The American Psychological Association also was involved in these, exchanges via email. And we know about this because of a lawsuit that is happening against one of some of the legislation that was passed in a state to try to protect children. That's being litigated now, and there's discovery, and so this information is coming to light. And it's really important. I know it's complicated. It's a little bit hard to explain, but it's really important for people to understand that that's why we need to bring these lawsuits. Sometimes it feels like we're not getting anywhere. But over time, things are revealed. And you get to see the inside of organizations who try to keep their workings secret in this way. And so this is a really important discovery. It shows you how interested the Biden administration is in advancing this horrible agenda. And it shows you that we really cannot trust this administration to work in the interest of children.
A great, great point. And again, as my understanding, the American Academy of Pediatrics was also involved in this. I mean, this kind of like has tentacles going all over the place. If you can, Meg, we've just got a couple of minutes, but remind our audience of the harms. It ought to be pretty obvious, but the harms of gender mutilation procedures, especially when we're talking about children.
Well, it starts with the social affirmation of a child when they are allowed to present as the opposite sex in school or dress, wear the wrong, you know, clothing or present as the opposite sex. But then it quickly progresses to hormone suppression, puberty blockers, then hormone suppression, then hormone replacement, right? And this is on children as young as 8 years old, sometimes even younger. This is horrific. And then we know cases where minor girls have had radical mastectomies that are euphemistically called top surgery, but their healthy breasts are removed. It's beyond comprehension, the agenda that this organization has.
Meg Kilgannon, thank you so much for keeping a pulse on this, especially in times when so many other things are flying around in the news. We appreciate you keeping us aware of what's happening out there on this incredibly important topic and look forward to having you back on it. Thanks
for
joining us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for talking about it.
You bet. All right, friends. Listen, the platform committee is about to meet with the Republican platform. It's going to be an extremely important time. And we encourage you to stay informed of what's happening. You can text the word LIFE to 67742 to stay on top of what's going to be happening there in the platform. That's LIFE to 67742. Tony Perkins will be joining me after the break with his take on the debate last night. Stay tuned.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your Friday host, Jody Heiss, and glad to have you on board with us. All right, last night's disastrous debate performance from President Joe Biden obviously set off a ton of alarm bells among Democrats and the legacy media. In fact, even Biden's own allies, who maybe previously whispered about potentially replacing him as a Democrat nominee. Listen, that is a transition from a whisper to bold, in-your-face conversations today. His party is obviously looking, and aggressively looking, some of them, for a new nominee. And it's an unprecedented thing that we're all watching. And as you well know, our own President Tony Perkins was right on top of it all last night, and I'm honored to have him joining us by phone right now. Tony, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Jody. Thanks again for filling in for me on this Friday so I could get out of town.
Well, listen, I know you've got so many plates spinning, and even right now I know you do, but I also know that you were tweeting a lot last night during the debate, and just important, I think, for people to hear from you. What's your overall assessment of last night's debate, if you can give us a 30,000-foot view?
Well, Jody, we know the Democrats like to pull fire alarms when they don't know what to say or do. Remember Congressman Bowman that pulled the fire alarm in the House when he didn't right. want to have the debate. Well, last night was one of those break glass moments for Democrats. I don't think they could get to the glass to break it fast enough to sound the alarm because it was evident. In fact, I tweeted it out. I said, here's my prediction. That was probably 10 minutes into the debate that Joe Biden will not be the nominee when their convention wraps up in August. There's no way. Now, I'm trying to figure out whether or not this was intentional because people who are in that orbit know that there's a problem. About 3 weeks ago, there was a Wall Street Journal article talking about the president slipping. It was an article that had been written over a period of several weeks, interviews about 45 different members of Congress and leaders, both Democrat and Republican. And there was a lot of criticism toward the Republicans, in fact, the speaker, for describing the president forgetting things, not being able to have a coherent conversation. House Speaker Mike Johnson on my weekend program a few weeks ago said, look,
that's what I saw. I'll take a polygraph. Well, that's not necessary now because the entire nation saw what he's been seeing in his private meetings with the president. So I'm not sure, Jody, the reason they scheduled this debate, this is now people have to realize we never have presidential debates this early before the parties have their convention. So for those near President Biden to agree to this ahead of the convention, knowing that he is not capable, to me, that suggests there are those that were trying to push him out, or else they would have protected him until after the convention when it was too late to make a change.
Yeah, and listen, that is exactly the content of some discussions that I've had with individuals today as well, asking that same question, was all this intentional? And you kind of step back, and it's kind of hard to not at least walk away with that being an authentic possibility. But this is really alarming, what we saw last night. It's we've all known about his cognitive impairment. We've watched it even 4 years ago. He hid out in a basement during the virtual entire campaign. This has been something going on, but we're in really bad shape right now.
Well, it is.
This is a danger to our country.
It's a dangerous place. I had a conversation this morning with former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Also, he served as CIA director, about the precarious situation this puts the nation in. I mean, we're 4 months away from an election. We're 6 months away from a new administration. Look, I no question that Putin was watching this last night. Xi was watching this last night. The Ayatollah was watching this last night. And there are, I think China is salivating over Taiwan. I think Putin sees his opportunity to move. So this is a very dangerous time. And this is what I would say, Jody, to our listeners, our viewers. We need to be praying. I mean, literally, there are forces of darkness at work here that are much bigger than what we see in the political arena. And we need to be praying. And of course, we need to be voting. And this is an unprecedented, as you've described, unprecedented. But it's not just unprecedented on the Democratic side. It's unprecedented on the Republican side.
Absolutely.
What we see happening in the courts going after Donald Trump. And, and so don't think that there's a smooth road ahead. This is going to be a very, very difficult 4 months.
Absolutely. You mentioned President Trump. We've only got about less than a minute left. But how did the former President Trump do, in your opinion?
Well, I think he did well. And this is why it's going to be difficult. I think they wanted to get rid of Joe Biden. They knew he could not compete against Donald Trump. One thing in particular that Trump did, and this was something I had talked to him about personally a few months back, and that was to go on the offense when it came to the life issue, going after the Democrats' extreme position. And he did that last night. And that's, quite frankly, what Republicans need to do. Now, I don't agree with everything what the president said about the abortion pill, that being, you know, I don't agree with what the Supreme Court did on that. And that that will trump what states are doing in trying to protect women and children. But President Trump went on the offense and exposed the extreme position that the Democrats have on abortion and a host of other things. So I think Donald Trump did well last night.
Thank you, President. Tony Perkins, President of FRC. Always great to have you on the program, and thanks for your leadership. All right, friends, on the other side of the break, FRC's David Clawson is going to be joining me for our weekly worldview discussion, and specifically as it relates to the debate last night. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
And welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us. I'm your Friday host, Jody Heiss. Wow, we've got a lot to cover today, and we are not through. But before I get into our next discussion, I want to remind you again that you still have time to take advantage of FRC's $2.5 million challenge match if it's given before June 30th, which is this Sunday. So just a couple of days left in this opportunity where you can have twice the impact by supporting us as we are defending the faith. That's really the bottom line of everything we do here. We're defending the faith and keeping a biblical worldview on the world stage and on the stage of the public square here in our country. And we invite you to help us. You can do so and have twice the impact by texting the word defend to 67742. We ask you to do that right now. And if you'd like to, we also have operators standing by. Easy phone number, it's 1-800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. So either way, text us or call us and have twice the impact before Sunday. All right, as we continue to think about last night's debate and the debacle that it was, there are multiple important stories, and there's still a lot, frankly, to digest from what we witnessed last night. Of course, most of the chatter, as we've been talking about on today's show, revolves around Joe Biden's mental decline and the inability to articulate his party's values. But there were some other moments where a clear contrast on policy came through. Most notably, probably, was on the issue of abortion, as Tony Perkins just referenced in our last segment. But how should Christians think about the debate? How should we talk about the debate with our family and others as we are having discussions? There's a lot to deal with on all these fronts. And joining me today for our weekly worldview segment is David Clawson. He's the director of FRC's Center for Biblical Worldview. David, always great to have you. Thanks for joining us again on Washington Watch.
Great to be with you again, Jody.
All right, so let me just throw it out to you like I have everyone else on this. What was your overall reaction to the debate last night?
Well, Jody, you know, I'm someone who just loves politics. I love campaigns and kind of, you know, the anticipation, the excitement, kind of, you know, these presidential debates I kind of look at as, you know, like a Super Bowl. So, you know, admittedly, I was, you know, really, really excited. And let me just preface what I'm about to say, you know, to the fact that I truly believe that the Biden administration has been an unmitigated disaster. Whatever issue you think about, the issues that we care about at FRC, such as life and human dignity, or other issues, the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, the southern border, the economy, you know, I'm someone who really hopes that Joe Biden is a one-term president. And so with that said, you know, the beginning of the debate, I was almost, you know, gleeful, you know, those first 30 seconds, you know, when he kind of stumbled over those first couple of answers. But I got to admit, Jody, any kind of glee or partisanship that I felt really subsided quickly. It was really replaced by astonishment, just seeing the incoherence, the nonsensical responses, the confused responses. I was texting with members of my family, and I have a sister down in Florida who has two young children, doesn't, you know, follow politics all that often, but she made the comment in our family chat, you know, is Joe Biden always like this? You know, I think people who are tuning in for the first time in a couple of years were just astounded. And so I think that's my overall take, kind of 30,000 foot view. But I'll also add, Jody, from a Christian perspective, you know, as someone who believes that everyone has dignity and value, it was sad to watch, just from kind of that human lens, seeing someone clearly struggling and suffering. It was a hard thing to watch. But I do think even though, you know, the personalities really are all the storylines, there were some significant policy disagreements and worldview divides that did emerge into the debate. And I think those are significant.
Well, I want to get to some of those here in just a few moments. But you mentioned the biggest takeaway for you. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway for me and probably the vast majority of Americans is the obvious mental decline of President Biden. And there were some other things I want to get into this. But you mentioned that there was a part of you that had compassion for him. Like, and I want to hit on this before we get into some of the other bigger policy matters, because I think this is an important issue. There are discussions all across the country today. Obviously, it's covering up the news, but there are going to be conversations around the dinner table happening right now in many homes and going on all across our country for hours to come. There are conversations with family, with neighbors, with workers, with church members, where people are wondering, what do we do with this? And there, to me, and I want to throw this out to get your reaction, there are two basic important issues here. And one you just mentioned, where here is a man who needs help. He is in obvious mental decline, health decline, and he needs help just personally. And I think we need to be aware of that and talk about that. But the other side of the coin is because of his condition, we are a country that needs help. And at times like this, there needs to be a change in leadership. The country is too important. There's too many things at stake. And I'm sure we'll get into some of those issues. But those two factors to me, as it relates to conversation with our children, with family, those two conversations somehow merge together, don't they? Would you agree that these conversations are important for us as a country to have, and those conversations begin with our own family?
Well, they do, Jody. And I think right before I came on this set, I saw that this was last night's debate was the highest viewed event in CNN history. Tens of millions of people tuned in to what took place last night. And again, you know, the partisan in me, like I said, I was almost gleeful for the first 30 seconds. And then I do think probably most Americans and even most, you know, Republicans watching that, I do think kind of any kind of excitement was really replaced by just a profound shock. And then I think for those of us who are Christians, I do think the compassion, the empathy, and I think as Christians, we need to lead in those conversations. We shouldn't be celebrating the clear cognitive decline of any single human person. Everyone, including Joe Biden, is someone who's made in God's image. The other part of that, though, is this is the leader of the free world. And, you know, it begs the question. A lot of us, I think, Jody, feel vindicated today because we've been kind of sounding the alarm. And, you know, the mainstream media and people on cable news have said, oh, well, you know, Joe Biden behind the scenes is someone who has vigor and is mentally aware. Well, they were clearly lying. And so I think this is a really important moment for this country. And people of faith, Christians, we need to be in prayer for our country, because this is a real precarious moment, I think, regardless of what happens on the campaign trail. We need to be praying for all of our leaders, including President Biden.
Absolutely. And I think that part of the discussion that we just had is not being had anywhere. And so I appreciate you going down that path with me. All right, let's get to some of the other big issues that came up. There were times that the worldview divide, if you will, was quite discernible. I think particularly on the abortion issue. But what stood out to you as it relates to a biblical worldview versus a secular worldview between President Biden and President Trump last night?
Yeah, on a couple of issues, when I'm thinking about foreign policy, thinking about immigration, I think President Trump kind of did articulate kind of an American first policy. He was unapologetic in the need to stand up for American values, for the American people, for the middle class. The worldview I think that we saw often from Joe Biden was kind of more of a globalist worldview, kind of more of an apologetic worldview. I think that was seen clearly in even just discussions about Russia and Ukraine that came up, the discussion about Afghanistan, issues of crime and immigration. I do think those issues did highlight the kind of the worldview divide most prominently, Jody. When abortion came up, I believe it was the second issue. I believe it was the moderator, Dana Bash, who brought it up. You really, at that point, saw it just diametrically opposed worldviews when Roe v. Wade came up. And you saw President Trump take credit for appointing the three justices that were in the majority that in the Dobbs decision from June of 2022. And you saw Joe Biden double down. Now, he doubled down quite inarticulately and not very artfully, probably to the chagrin of people at Planned Parenthood. But nevertheless, he did double down kind of on a worldview that sees abortion basically as a sacrament. And I think that's a really important division, and would encourage people to go back and watch that part of the debate, because that did give us a very clear worldview divide.
Yeah, it certainly did. You know, and when it comes to all these kind of issues, there were a few things that, quite frankly, I was looking for that did not come up. Things that are important to us here at FRC, but I think important to the Christian community more broadly speaking, things like religious liberty, the whole web of LGBT issues, and I mean, literally the web that takes us in so many different ways. What do you think about the omission of these topics in the debate last night, and how should Christian think about those issues in the light of the campaign as a whole? Because certainly some of these things are going to come up, don't you think?
Well, they will. There's so many issues, obviously, to discuss in a 90-minute debate. I think that the fact that some of the LGBT issues, you know, the biological boys being allowed to compete against biological women, you know, we cover that issue a lot. The fact that that's not more of a topic of regular discourse in our country does show us how quickly and pervasively the LGBT agenda has been largely successful. It's kind of almost an assumed part of our culture now. If I can go back just very briefly, Jody, one thing on the abortion thing that I think is really, really crucial is what Joe Biden said. He said, you know, I want to codify Roe v. Wade into law. And President Trump, to his credit, pushed him on that and said, you know, Democrats are in favor of late-term abortion, which is really interesting. When Joe Biden responded and said, we are not for a late-term abortion, period, period, period. We have to just be honest, Jody, that's fundamentally dishonest for the president to say that when he has encouraged his party to pass the Women's Health Protection Act, legislation that if it ever became law, would force abortion on all 50 states and undo almost every state-level pro-life law. That's a law I know you voted against, Jody. You know, right. So for him to say that he's not in favor of late-term abortion, it's disingenuous. We need to realize that. But very briefly, again, on the religious liberty question, you have 4 years of achievement on that issue for President Trump and 3.5 years of clear kind of trampling on the religious freedom of Americans and forcing kind of a very pro-LGBT worldview on other countries around the world in direct violation of their religious beliefs. And so this is an issue, even though it didn't get a lot of play last night, but our viewers need to be aware that this is another issue that divides these candidates in profound ways.
Absolutely. And I think it's important for pastors and even parents, like we were talking a little while ago, who watched the debate, to bring these issues up as well. These need to be brought into the entire debate, into the question. So what advice would you have for pastors? What advice would you have for parents as they talk about the debate last night, both the issues that were brought up and the issues that were not?
Yeah, first of all, don't become cynical. I've seen some, you know, Christians who were tuning into the debate last night and kind of just saying cynical things about it and being discouraged and disheartened. Let me give you two theological principles that I think should guide every pastor, every parent, every Christian. Number one, we care about politics, Jody, because we care about people. I view politics in a constitutional republic as a stewardship. You know, we're accustomed to hearing sermons about needing to be stewards of our time and resources. We need to be stewards with our votes. We're called to be stewards of everything God entrusts us to, but that includes, in a constitutional republic, our vote. And the other principle is love of neighbor. One of the reasons I love politics and I love the public square, Jody, is it's one way that we can have significant impact on our neighbor. You know, whether we like it or not, government has its tentacles on so many issues. And can I truly say I love my neighbor in a comprehensive way if I'm not engaging in this battle of ideas that takes place in the realm of politics? So any pastor who's kind of thinking about these issues and how do we talk about politics, how do we talk about the election, you know, I don't think pastors should from the pulpit tell people who to vote for, but we should help catechize the people in our pews to think biblically about the process. Love of neighbor and stewardship, I think that's a great place to begin those conversations.
Great place indeed. All right, we've just got less than 2 minutes. Let me just hit this. As this campaign goes on, we've got, of course, the Republican National Convention right around the corner. And, of course, FRC is involved in the platform discussion of the Republican Party. In today's politics, everyone talks about the candidates, the personalities, but platforms matter. Why should Christians be paying attention to platforms?
Yeah, I'll give you one basic stat, Jody. 80% of the time, a politician votes in line with their party platform, whether that's Republican or Democrat. And so what's put into this platform, every political party, Republicans and Democrats, every 4 years, they put out basically here are the principles that if you elect us, we will govern according to this document. And so for Christians, we need to be praying that the Republican Party, which meets in just a couple of weeks, the life issue, religious liberty, that those things are affirmed in the platform, because that will help point the politicians to vote in line with those values.
Yeah, it does. And I can speak as a former member of Congress. The platform does matter to those who are representing the people. But platforms are important to the voters, too. It enables them to see where the two parties land and where they stand on various issues. And so it's not just the Republican platform that people need to be paying attention to. It's the Democrat one as well. It's very, very revealing. All right. Thank you, David Clawson, director of the Center for Biblical Worldview here at the Family Research Council. We always love having you on. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jody.
All right, everyone. That wraps up yet another busy, busy week here on Washington Watch. There's going to be another one next week, though. Have a fantastic weekend. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.